Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Conspiracy of Credit by Corey P. Smith is a short nonfiction book about personal finance, credit reporting, and the behavior of major institutions in the credit industry. Published in 2013, it presents a strongly critical view of credit bureaus, banks, and related commercial systems, arguing that many of the products and some practices surrounding credit are designed to profit from consumer confusion and vulnerability. The book is not a neutral technical manual. It is a polemical examination of how credit scoring, identity theft protection, loyalty cards, and re-identification tools may function within a larger economic framework. Its purpose is to make readers question the incentives behind the credit system and to offer an alternative way of understanding how credit affects everyday life. Because it is compact and highly focused, the book appeals mainly to readers who want an unconventional perspective on consumer finance rather than a standard advisory guide. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a critique of credit bureaus as profit-driven institutions. The central argument of the book is that credit bureaus are not simply neutral record keepers. Instead, Smith frames them as institutions whose business model depends on keeping consumers trapped in systems of monitoring, scoring, and correction. This matters because the book asks readers to look beyond the surface language of financial help and ask who benefits when credit is difficult to manage. In that view, bad credit is not merely a personal failure, but part of an ecosystem that can be monetized through fees, services, and recurring dependence. The book uses this suspicion to challenge the common assumption that the credit industry exists mainly to reward responsibility. Rather than presenting credit as a transparent measure of trustworthiness, it depicts it as a mechanism shaped by institutional incentives. That framing is what gives the book its confrontational tone and makes it different from conventional credit advice literature. Secondly, why identity theft protection is treated as a marketable product. Another major theme is the claim that identity theft protection has become a commercial product created and sold within the same financial world that manages consumer data. Smith argues that when an industry contributes to the vulnerability it later promises to solve, the solution itself can become part of the revenue model. This is a useful line of critique because it draws attention to how fear can be packaged and sold in financial markets. Instead of treating identity theft protection as an obvious public service, the book encourages skepticism about whether some protective services are genuinely preventative or mainly reassurance products. The broader implication is that consumers may be paying repeatedly for remedies to problems produced by a system they do not control. That idea connects identity theft prevention to the larger question of whether financial security is being turned into a subscription-style business rather than a durable safeguard. Thirdly, retail and grocery loyalty cards as data collection tools. The book extends its analysis beyond traditional lending by discussing retail and grocery loyalty cards. Smith presents these cards as more than discount tools, suggesting that they also serve as mechanisms for gathering detailed consumer data. This is an important move because it widens the discussion of credit and surveillance from banks to everyday shopping behavior. The reader is encouraged to see how routine consumption can feed databases that shape marketing, pricing, and profiling. In that sense, the loyalty card becomes an example of how financial and retail systems overlap in their use of data. The book does not simply criticize discounts or rewards programs. It questions the hidden exchange in which small savings may come at the cost of extensive behavioral tracking. That makes this section relevant to broader concerns about consumer privacy, data ownership, and the normalization of monitoring in ordinary transactions. Fourthly, re-identification software and the problem of personal traceability. Smith also refers to re-identification software, linking the book to concerns about how disparate bits of information can be combined to reconstruct a person's identity and behavior. This topic deepens the book's privacy argument by showing that data collection is only one stage of the process. The more significant issue is how collected data can later be matched, interpreted, and used. The concept matters because it illustrates how modern credit and retail systems can follow individuals across different platforms and contexts. In practical terms, this means that a consumer may think of separate activities as unrelated, while data systems can join them into a single profile. The book uses this idea to argue that the speed and scale of data processing have changed the relationship between institutions and individuals. Rather than being passive records, personal traces become active inputs into surveillance like financial and commercial decision-making. Lastly, a warning about the speed of light money age. The book closes its argument by situating these practices in what it calls a speed of light money age, a phrase that points to the accelerated pace of modern financial systems. This is not just stylistic language. It reflects the idea that digital credit and banking operate so quickly that many consumers cannot fully see, understand, or contest what is happening to their information and decisions. The speed of transactions, scoring, and data exchange makes the system feel less tangible while increasing its power. Smith presents the book as a blueprint for the future of credit and banking, which suggests that these trends are not temporary but foundational to how finance will increasingly work. The value of this theme is that it links current consumer concerns to a larger structural shift. The book is asking readers to understand credit not as a static score, but as part of a fast-moving digital environment in which privacy, trust, and access are continuously negotiated. In conclusion, Conspiracy of Credit will be most useful to readers who want a skeptical, institution-focused look at consumer finance, especially those interested in credit reporting, data privacy, and the hidden incentives behind financial products. It is less suited to readers looking for balanced, step-by-step credit repair advice because its emphasis is critical analysis rather than practical budgeting tactics or dispute templates. Its main value lies in how it reframes familiar features of everyday finance as interconnected systems of data extraction and profit-making. That makes it intellectually useful even for readers who do not agree with every claim. Compared with more conventional personal finance books, it stands out for its confrontational thesis and its broad linking of credit bureaus, identity theft protection, loyalty programs, and re-identification technology. In a category often dominated by how to improve a score, this book asks a more unsettling question: who actually benefits from the way credit is structured? Readers who want a compact, provocative challenge to mainstream assumptions about banking and credit will find it distinctive. If you would like to support Corey P. Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.